the more I was compelled to think about it. Before I knew it, my eyes would be seeking out the watch on my left wrist. Whenever this happened, I would avert my face, close my eyes, and struggle not to look. I ended up taking the watch off and stuffing it into my knapsack. Even so, my mind went on groping for the watch inside the pack, where it continued to tick off the time. And so, time flowed on through the darkness, even without advancing watch hands. Time undivided and unmeasured. Once it lost its points of demarcation, time ceased being a continuous line and became instead a kind of formless fluid that expanded or contracted at will. Within this kind of time, I slept and woke and slept and woke and became slowly more accustomed to life without timepieces. I trained my body to realize that I no longer needed time, but soon I was feeling tremendous anxiety. True, I had been liberated from the nervous habit of checking my watch every 5 minutes, but once the frame of reference of time faded completely away, I began to feel as if I had been flung into the ocean at night from the deck of a moving ship. No one noticed my screams, and the boat continued its forward advance, moving farther and farther away until it was about to fade from view. Abandoning the effort, I took the watch from the knapsack and returned it to my wrist. The hands were pointing to 6:15. Probably 6:15 a.m. The last time I had looked at my watch, it had been 7:36. 7:36 at night. It seemed reasonable to conclude that 11 hours had gone by since then. It could hardly have been 23 hours. But I could not be sure. What was the essential difference between 11 hours and 23 hours? Whichever it was, 11 or 23, my hunger had become far more intense. The sensation was nothing like what I had imagined an intense hunger to be. I had assumed that hunger would be a feeling of absence. Instead, it was closer to pure physical pain, utterly physical and direct, like being stabbed or throttled. And the pain was uneven. It lacked consistency. It would rise like a swelling tide until I was on the verge of fainting, and then little by little, it would recede. To divert my attention from the intense pain of these hunger pangs, I tried to concentrate on something else. But it was no longer possible for me to do any serious thinking. Fragmentary thoughts would drift into my mind, then disappear as quickly as they had come. Whenever I tried to grab one, it would slip through my fingers like some slimy, shapeless animal. I stood up and stretched and took a deep breath. Every part of my body hurt. Every muscle and joint cried out in pain from having been in an awkward position for so long. I stretched myself slowly upward, then did some knee bends. But after 10 of those, I felt dizzy. Sitting down again on the well floor, I closed my eyes. My ears were ringing, and sweat streamed down my face. I wanted to hold on to something, but there was nothing to hold on to. I felt like throwing up, but there was nothing inside me that I could have thrown up. I tried deep breathing, hoping to refresh my mind by renewing the air inside my body and giving my circulation a charge, but the clouds in my mind refused to clear. My body's so weak now, I thought. And in fact, I tried saying the words aloud, "My body's so weak now." But my mouth had difficulty forming the words. If only I could see the stars, I thought. But I could not see stars. May Kasahara had sealed the mouth of the well. I assumed that May Kasahara would come to the well again sometime during the morning, but she didn't. I spent the time waiting for her to arrive leaning against the wall. The sick feeling stayed with me all morning, and my mind had lost the power to concentrate on anything for however short a time. The hunger pangs continued to come and go, and the darkness around me grew thicker and thinner. With each new wave, another chunk of my ability to concentrate would be taken away, like furniture being stripped a piece at a time by burglars in an empty house. Noon passed, and still May Kasahara did not appear. I closed my eyes and tried to sleep, hoping to dream of Krita Kano. But my sleep was too shallow for dreams. Not long after I gave up any effort to concentrate, all kinds of fragmentary memories began to visit me. They arrived in silence, like water slowly filling an underground cavern.